little bit earlier about being blessed, because we really are blessed, aren't we? I mean, it's so easy to kind of fall into this, you know, this thinking that, oh, with all that's going on, you know, we've got so much to put up with. But we really are blessed people, whether we're part of our online campus at home, here in gathering. You know, yesterday was a gorgeous day, wasn't it? I mean, I just loved it. Jen and I, we went downtown. We went for a walk. We did all that. I love the sun, and I love, you know, the warmth of the sun. And so it's easy for me to get up to a day like today and go like, who wants this, you know? But hey, it's a great day, right? It's a great day because we're here and because of Jesus. And you know, that's not like some spiritual, you know, cliche. It really is a great day. It's a blessed day. So I'm so glad that you're here. So glad that you've joined online. I got a question I want to ask you, and it's this. When I say the word instrument, what do you think of? Instrument. Yeah. Instruments, right? You think of, like we saw instruments being played on. I would too. So when you think of instrument, what do you think of? So some of us, right, we thought kind of like maybe something like this right here, a trumpet or another kind of instrument. I played the trumpet. You have never heard that and you never will hear me play. Yeah, I went to baritone, then I went to tuba, you know, marching in the parade. So anyway, and I was the only person in step as I marched. Mom was so proud. Anyway, so you thought about that. Or maybe you thought of some type of a tool or some type of electrical, like, instrument or something, right? Maybe that. And so God bless all of you who are electricians or you mess around with electricity. I just absolutely hate electricity, and I don't have anything to do with it. I don't even like a static electricity shock, you know. But anyway, so instrument, maybe you thought of something like that or some other tool. Maybe you thought of these right here, like the dentist. I love our dentists. We have dentists at Gateway. I love you all. But listen, when I get my teeth cleaned, man, I'd rather have a root canal than that right there. Honestly, I mean, I hate those things anyway. Like, well, I don't know. So what do you think of? Let me ask you this. Have you ever experienced this? You said something to somebody, and they said this. Wow, that's exactly what I need to hear. Has that ever happened to you? I bet it has. Or you did something for somebody, and their response to you was, you don't know how badly I needed that right there. And you thought it was small. You just thought it was a small act. But in that moment, God used you in a way that maybe you weren't even expecting. I've shared before, and I'll say it again, that sometimes I think we put spiritual gifts on such a high plane, you know, that, you know, discover your spiritual gift. And here's what I believe. So many times you're operating in that spiritual gift, that spiritual arena, the Spirit is leading you, and you're stepping in to something that He is leading you in, and that's the response that you get, and you didn't even know it. But that was Jesus using you in that moment. And so you were an instrument used by Him. What if, instead of thinking of a musical instrument or some type of electrical or some type of a tool, what if we did this? What if the first thing that comes to your mind when we talk about instrument is right here? It's you. What if you began to think of yourself as an instrument used by God? That's what I want to talk about today. And I'm going to narrow it down right down to just one small thing that I'm going to call an act of kindness. We're going to talk about that and how Jesus uses that in your life and in mine. Every parent has done this, I suppose. So I had two boys, and now they're married, and I have four grandkids. But one of our boys, when he was young, he went out to the garage and he built boats, in like, I think like four or five wooden boats. I actually don't even think they would have floated if we would have got them to the water. They were pretty crude, but he was only like maybe five or first grade or something like that, but I still remember that. And he built the boats, and then he decided he wanted to sell them. So we lived on kind of a busy road. So he took his boats out and put them on a little table and then made a sign, boats for sale. I think they were like $2 or something like that. And so the cars would drive by, and we were watching him from the living room. He'd do this. no one stopped. Never sold a boat. And so we're watching that, right, as parents. And we did, I think, what probably most of you would do. We diverted his attention a little bit, then we went out and bought all the boats, left the money there. And then, you know, if I've never told him the story, and if he hears this, he's hearing it for the very, very first time. We actually were the ones who bought all the boats. And so we did that. We kind of stepped in that. But you've done it in a different way, because you were at the grocery store when the Girl Scouts were selling cookies. And they're evil. Girl Scout cookies are evil, right? Because you buy them and you eat them, you know. And so especially the coconut ones, I forget what they're called, but yeah, those right there, exactly. Do you love those or what? Anyway, so we don't buy just one box. We buy many boxes, right? And because the Girl Scouts smiled, you know. And so I want to talk about the kind of these simple little things that I left my glasses somewhere. Oh, well, I'll be okay. I think we'll just see how this thing goes right here, okay? So, well, we kind of do these things, but here at Gateway, here's what we call them: good deeds. And it's kind of a pathway for sharing the good news. And so we do this as a community, but I think we do this individually too. So we talk about good deeds, and then we talk about goodwill that's built from the good deeds that leads to an open door to share the good news. So good deeds, goodwill, and good news. That's why we do what we do. So Friday night, there was a great event here. It was wonderful what our children's ministries put on, and many of you helped with that. It was a great opportunity to reach into our community with a very special Christmas party, and many were a part of that. Good deeds, goodwill, good news. This is what we're talking about, and I believe that this is what Jesus calls us into. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. Andy Stanley coined that phrase some years ago, and I kind of latched on to it. So we're talking about living the life of a peacemaker, being an instrument of a peacemaker, acting out this life that Jesus has so graciously brought us into, and let it be seen in acts of kindness that open the door to sharing the good news of the gospel. Jesus talks about these small acts in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 42. He says this: and whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. And here's what he's saying to his disciples. Like, these guys were fishermen and they were tax collectors. I mean, in many people's eyes, they were like insignificant. Like, you're a fisherman, you're a tax collector. But what he was saying to them is like, even if you do this one thing, a small cup of water, a cup of cold water, this is you and me, disciples of Jesus, living out our life that's been changed, doing what we can, and the world notices that though they might not refer to you as an instrument, they look at you and they look at me and they go, what they just did, they're living out a life that they claim as a follower of Jesus. And they may not even say it that way. It's living out the life of a peacemaker. In Acts, there's a gal that's mentioned. Her name is Tabitha, also translated Dorcas, right? But like, if you're going to choose Tabitha or Dorcas, which name are you going to choose, right? Tabitha. So in Acts chapter 9, verse number 36, it says this about Tabitha: she was full of good works and acts of charity. Well, here's what happened. She died. She passed away. And so the call went out to Peter, who shows up. And when he shows up, something began to happen. Something I think that you would have been a part of, I would have been a part of, if we were a benefactor of one of Tabitha's acts of charity. They were grieving, and they were, Bible says they were weeping, but they were doing something else. They were showing Peter the garments, the things that she had made for them. It was just this moment when you go, look at the charity, look at the kindness that she extended to each one of us. I remember growing up not far from here at the church down in Bremerton, and Mom took us all in, and all five of our kids, and we arrived at the church, and the church community there kind of adopted this little family being led by this mom. And there were an elderly couple, at least they were elderly to me. They were probably like not that old then, but Grandma and Grandpa Ofelt. Good Norwegian name, right? Grandma and Grandpa Ofelt. And so they didn't have any kids. But what they did is they adopted a bunch of kids. And they adopted this Dushman family. You know, one sister and five kids total. And so they would do things for us, that cookies, you know, and they would help with some other things and so on. But Grandma Ofelt was a knitter. So when I think of Tabitha, I think of Grandma Ofelt, right? And so Grandma Ofelt would knit these beautiful Norwegian sweaters. And I received one as a young guy, you know, and so did my family. Well, I had the privilege of leading her memorial service when she passed away, you know, a few years back. And I stood before an audience in person, kind of like this right here, and I asked this question: how many ever received a sweater, hand-knit sweater from Grandma Ofelt? And I'll tell you, I honestly think, as I remember, like half or more than half of those in the audience raised their hand. It's just that what she was doing with the gifts that she had been given, her life had been changed, and now this is what she was doing to impact the lives of others. So I want to suggest to you that Jesus calls us to this lifestyle, and I believe that acts of kindness expressed in small ways and large ways are part of living the life of a peacemaker, is part of being an instrument of peace, and we are all called into this. Now, if I were to ask you, if we were to go around the room and we were to reach into online this morning, and I would ask you, have you ever been a benefactor of a small act of kindness? I think we would all be able probably to identify something, or maybe a large act of kindness. Acts of kindness open the door to share the gospel of peace. They are a means to an end. Good deeds, goodwill, good news. And we believe, and I believe, as we step out as followers of Jesus and we express acts of kindness to those around us, wherever we go, wherever our life takes us during the day, that Jesus can use us, and he will, to open the door to the good news. And so this is what I want to call us to today. We'll talk about peace here in just a little bit moment, what that looks like. That when we leave today, and when we wake up tomorrow morning, we begin to embrace the entire day as an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel. Whatever that you're doing, we're looking for opportunities, acts of kindness that will open the door to maybe a conversation, something, some way to share the good news of the gospel. So when you go to the grocery store, right? We're just not going to pay our bill at the stand. We're going to engage maybe with the checker, with the grocery clerk. Maybe it's our coffee. Maybe it's at work. Maybe however it is, but acts of kindness that open the door to the good news so that we can become instruments of peace. St. Francis of Assisi, I call it a pathway to opportunity, says this and kind of describes it this way, and really is what a prayer. It's really a prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring love. Where there is offense, let me bring pardon. Where there is discord, let me bring union. Where there is error, let me bring truth. Where there is doubt, let me bring faith. Where there is despair, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, let me bring your light. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. O Master, let me not seek as much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that one receives. It is in self-forgetting that one finds. It is in pardoning that one is pardoned. It is in dying that one is raised to eternal life. And I would just challenge us as we kind of walk through that prayer and look at that prayer, how many of those associate themselves with just really small acts? So many of them things that you and I can do each and every day to be an instrument of peace. He's often, the quote, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words, is falsely attributed to him. But somebody said it, and whoever did reminds us of this. Our actions at times speak louder than our words and can open the door to the gospel. And this is what I'm calling us to as a community and as individuals, especially during this time and the weirdness of all that's going on. People are open to the gospel like never before. So I have a tough question for you. In fact, I just kind of listened. It's kind of a really hard question, maybe tough question for us to think about. May not even apply to everybody, but are our actions instruments of peace or instruments of division? How are we living out our life that Jesus has brought us into? And I think if I were to be honest, I would just tell you, like, if I look back, like, you know, I have failed. We all have failed at this, but it's a life that we're called into, being instruments of peace rather than instruments of division. Jesus said it this way in a call to every follower. He really calls us to be marked by a different lifestyle than the world around us. We're to be different. We're to live what has been called an upside down life. In other words, you know, the world thinks of life this way, but as a follower of Jesus, we think of life this way. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he says this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. That's the life that we are called into. He's not so much talking about the peaceful, but the call for you and for me to live this life of being a peacemaker. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. We know that as followers of Jesus, that in light of the gospel, Jesus himself is the supreme peacemaker. We know that. Making peace between God and man, man and man, he did what no other could do. And he's changed you and he's changed me. And now he says, I want you to be a part of this life. Blessed are the peacemakers. So our peacemaking will first and foremost include the spread of the gospel. This is why we do what we do. This is why, as a faith community, when I talk about good deeds, goodwill, and good news, we can never stop at goodwill. There are some tremendous service communities around, right? And we have them, and they do a fantastic work. But God help us if we ever stop at just doing good works. Because we're to share the good news of the gospel. So if all we do is share good works that create goodwill and we stop right there, we will fail in this mission to share the gospel with all the world, to go and make disciples. So we don't stop there. Jesus calls us to be peacemakers, to be a part of sharing the good news of the gospel with the world around us. Our peacemaking then will first and foremost include the spread of the gospel. We understand that true peace can never be separated from an authentic relationship with God. So if you're searching or if you're looking for true peace outside of a relationship with God, you will never find it. True peacemaking cannot happen outside of a relationship with the Father. It's our call and our joy to share the good news. This is what we're talking about today, being instruments of peace and living it out in this one way called acts of kindness. Jesus does not limit peacemaking to only one kind, and neither should we. Peacekeeping must extend to all kinds of reconciliation. As disciples of Jesus, we must not delight in division, bitterness, strife, or a petty divide and conquer mentality. We must make peace wherever possible. Because of our new life in Christ Jesus, we are called to be peacemakers, to be his hand extended, to be that person, that man, that woman, that student who is actively sharing the good news, and I'm suggesting the acts of kindness in Jesus' name open the doors to the gospel of peace. It opens a person's heart. Why do we do this? That's a good question. We do it because we've been transformed into instruments of peace. We are no longer this person. We are this person. We are instruments of peace. You are no longer who you used to be. You and I, we are now different. Amen.
Mi nombre es Ada Maribel Ríos Bogado, tengo 13 años y toco el violín.
Me llamo Juan Manuel Chávez, más conocido como Baby, tengo 19 años y toco el chelo. Este chelo está hecho de una lata de aceite, la madera tirada en la basura y las clavijas son de una vieja cuchara para golpear la carne y para hacer el ñoquis. Y suena así.
Una comunidad como Caldeura no es un lugar para tener un violín. De hecho, un violín cuesta más que su casa.
En ese grupo acá mismo encontramos el colador de violín. Y de ese empezamos los instrumentos reciclados.
La familia que acá vive recicla todo lo que hay en la basura y se vende.
No pensaba antes que yo voy a hacer ese instrumento. Y me siento demasiado feliz cuando estoy viendo a un niño que está tocando un violín reciclado.
Cuando ya escucho el sonido del violín, siento como mariposa en el estómago, así una sensación que no sé cómo voy a explicar.
Bueno, la orquesta de instrumentos reciclados es una orquesta que toca instrumentos hechos con la basura.
Y mi vida sería sin la música, estaría de Corea.
La gente se da cuenta que no tenemos que tirar la basura muy fácilmente. Y no tenemos que desechar a las personas muy fácilmente.
¡Fuerte, fuerte!
Isn't that fantastic? I mean, that's our story, isn't it? Did you see the one phrase, instruments made out of trash? And I think about that, and I think of our lives, how Jesus took you, and he took me, if you're a follower of his, and he took something that maybe someone else would throw away, someone else might even consider trash or garbage or whatever, and Jesus took you, and he took me, and he transformed us. And now we're instruments of peace. The cross that we have in the auditorium here was an instrument of torture by the Romans. But Jesus took that and he transformed it into an instrument of peace. That is because of his sacrifice for you and for me. We come into a brand new life in Jesus where we experience authentic peace. The cross was transformed by Jesus. Your life and my life was transformed by him. And now we're given a brand new purpose. And each and every day, that's why this is a blessed life, because each and every day we have the opportunity to share the good news in some way. And this morning we're just talking about this one way. Acts of kindness. And speaking of the cross, Paul wrote this in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 14, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the reason that we have life today. And we are called into this life of a peacemaker. I'm going to wrap up, and I'm going to give you just some practical steps of how we can live this out. Number one, we just recognize the principle of sowing, right? So if you've sown seed, I mean, most of us have, right, in some garden. The seeds are small. It's a principle of sowing. Small acts. Someday there'll be a harvest. We may or may not see the harvest. And I think that sometimes we can get discouraged, right? Because we're looking for the harvest. We may or may not see it, but we were obedient when we sowed the seed. So your acts of kindness that I'm calling us to, even when we leave today, they're sowing a seed. Someone else will come along and water. Paul says this, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God is the one who makes things grow. We're simply called to do our part. So as we do them, as we live out this life, instruments of peace, sowing seed, we do so faith believing that God will cause that to grow. God will make it grow. God will bring others along as we do our part. So we sow seed. And some say, well, I've tried, but it doesn't work. In fact, I've tried, and all I receive back is, you know, no kindness in return. In fact, it's a struggle. In fact, it's trouble, because it's life an offense. You've been offended in some way or another, or you've been rejected, and you keep trying and you keep going and going and going and going. So my second kind of practical point is, it's just recognize when it's time to move on. And that's okay. You recognize when it's time to move on. Some of you have tried so hard and you're continually rejected. Recognize when it's time to move on. Remember last week, Mario talked about this. He shared this passage out of Romans chapter 12. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So as far as it depends on you, live at peace. Some have gone as far as you can. You've sowed seed. You have tried. You've done everything to be an instrument of peace. But what now? Well, it might be time to move on. Follow the example of Jesus out of 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 23, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. We don't do that. When he suffered, he did not threaten. We don't do that. But continued to entrusting himself to him who judges justly. So there are times when we just turn people over to the Lord. And it's not with the attitude that, well, I'm turning you over to the Lord. And is he going to get you? No, we're not doing it that way, right? We're saying, look, I just turn you over to the Lord, and we move on. We don't get stuck there in our life. Number three, we start with the small things. You see, there are small acts that you might even be thinking of right now. Something that you can, it might be a phone call, it might be a text, it might be, it's just a small act. We start with the small things, and then we see those things grow. There's a story that I want to share with you about small things and how it grew to literally saving the lives of over 100 people. We're coming up December the 26th on the anniversary of the tsunami that hit Thailand and other parts of the world. Maybe you remember that. But on that beach in Thailand, on one of the beaches in Thailand, on December 26th was a family. And Tilly was a 10-year-old daughter. And they were there on vacation. And she began to look at the water and think back just 2 weeks earlier in her classroom when the teacher was talking about the signs of a tsunami. And she goes to her dad and she goes like, I don't think this is right. She's 10 years old. She's thinking about her family. And her dad kind of put her off, you know, but she's 10 years old. Like, what does she know? She kept bugging him and kept saying, no, something's not right. The water is not acting like it should. You know, it's receding. It's not coming in. It's bubbly. She bugged her dad so much and for so long that finally he went up and alerted the hotel people to what his daughter was saying. They came down and looked at it. They evacuated over 100 people off that beach. That is one of the beaches that did not lose one single person when the tsunami hit just a few minutes later. All because of one small act of a 10-year-old who wouldn't stop bugging her dad. What was, you know, a small act for her family turned out to save the lives of over 100. Even today, they refer to it as Tilly's Beach. Small acts. Small things can turn into large things. So I have four questions as we wrap up, and then we're going to share in communion. Do others see you as a peacemaker, as an instrument? If not, what is your next step in becoming an instrument of peace? What small act can you do today? Maybe it's on your way home. Maybe it's tomorrow morning. What is one way you can sow peace today or next week? Just think of just the one thing. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. And then last, what act of kindness have you been thinking about that you haven't been able to act on yet? Because maybe you thought about, you know, we should take something over to the neighbor, you know. We should do that. But you just haven't done it yet. But it was a thought. And I'm willing to say it was a thought inspired by God, being an instrument of peace. Sometimes we think of the big things, don't we? It's not just the big things. In fact, it's mostly not the big things. We have a blessed life because of what Jesus has done for each one of us. Now we get to share it with others. And I'm going to pray at the end that the things that we do, the seeds that we sow, will open the doors for the good news of the gospel. You might have the opportunity to do that. You might just be sowing seed for the next person coming along because it's God who causes it to grow. But we're walking in obedience to him. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? We're going to be sharing the bread and the cup and encourage you at home online. Just grab something, whatever it is. Maybe it's your toast for breakfast that you had that you saved or whatever. I'm going to pray when we take the bread because this represents his broken body, represents healing, and in the healing in a variety of ways, right? When we talk about physical healing, I believe in physical healing. I believe that he still performs miracles today. I hope that you do too, but it includes financial healing as well, healing of our hearts, our souls. It includes so much, so I'm going to pray for us that Jesus will provide the healing that you're in need of right now. And as we take the cup, we're going to celebrate the life that he has brought us into and that we get to share with others through how we live out our life. And then we're going to stand and we're going to celebrate him today. But Father, I thank you for your broken body. Your body was broken that we might be made whole in every way. So I pray right now for those reaching out for physical healing. Jesus, we just agree together in this moment, in this time, would you bring healing today? Some are praying for financial healing, struggling in this way. God, I pray for financial healing. I pray for you that you would provide, Lord, in miraculous ways. Some are praying for the restoration of relationships. Some are praying maybe even for a brand new purpose in life. God, help us to realize that we have purpose when our life is in you. We give all these things to you in your name. Let's take the bread together, shall we? And Jesus, we thank you for the life that you have brought us into through the death of your son and resurrection of your son. We're at peace with you. Thank you for the reconciliation, Father, that we have experienced. Thank you for the joy of sharing the good news of the gospel with those around us. God, I would just pray that we would seize each and every opportunity to share our life in you. Everything from small acts of kindness to whatever it is that you call us into. Help us not to get discouraged by maybe what we don't see, but recognize, Father, that walking in obedience to you is the life that you have called us into. And I thank you for it. Thank you for the privilege. I pray for brand new opportunities as we wake up and start the day again tomorrow, even the remainder of this day, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take the cup together, shall we? Amen. Let's stand together here, shall we? And online, join us together, will you?